1 week from today, we'll drop the green flag on the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. 24 spots have been filled on the grid, but 9 spots remain open, and they will be filled today on bump day. Today's live coverage from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is brought to you in part by Firestone, official tire of the IndyCar Series. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. By the Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. By the National Guard, always ready, always there. By Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometers, accurate temperature with a gentle forehead scan, available at your favorite local retailer. By Old National Bank, proud to sponsor Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. By Henchman Racing Uniforms, nothing fits like a henchman. By Verizon Wireless, official wireless supplier of the IndyCar Series. By Sonax. For the best in car care products, go to SonaxUSA.com. By Chevrolet. Find new roads. By Safety Clean. Protection, choices, people. Make green work. And by the American Dairy Association, reminding you that winners drink milk. The three-lap average for Ed Carpenter, 229.032 miles an hour already through the North Chute. Here he comes, setting up and already through the apex of turn number four. Once again, oh so close to the outside wall, the middle of the racetrack. Here is Ed Carpenter across the yard of bricks. Fourth lap drops to 227.955, but Ed Carpenter with a four-lap average speed of 228.762 miles an hour as the fifth driver in the fast nine posts the fastest time of those five drivers. So Davey, right now Ed Carpenter is poised to start no worse than the inside of row number two 1 week from Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's put himself in a really good position, and man, I tell you, if that's not a front row start, I'll be surprised, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we keep our eye on Ed Carpenter. We keep our eye on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the north end. Here comes Will Power off of turn number four, charging down the front straight for the final time. Final lap for Will Power, the driver from Australia, comes in at 227.246. He will start sixth on the pole. The Indianapolis native, Ed Carpenter, at 228.762. What a story as Ed Carpenter, the driver owner, will lead the field of the green flag here 1 week from Sunday.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's really, you know, the start of a dream come true. To win the pole at Indy is such a big deal. It's bigger than the two race wins we've had before. And I'm just having fun, you know. I mean, it's fun to get into the shootout. And, you know, the guys did a great job. They made great calls on the car going into the shootout. You know, we didn't want to be over-aggressive, and we didn't want to be conservative. And, you know, they made a smart call. So, the pole goes to the team big time.
Ed Carpenter, the Indianapolis native who literally grew up on the grounds of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, will be the pole sitter, claiming the Verizon P1 award yesterday afternoon in the Fast 9 shootout. Welcome to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the world's greatest race course, and our exclusive live coverage here on IndyCar Radio and the IMS Radio Network. Ed will be joined on the front row by Carlos Munoz and Marco Andretti. A lot of stories there for sure, and we'll be filling you in on all of the details. As we said, 24 spots have been filled on the grid, but Carpenter is certainly the story of the day, along with the young man beside of him, Carlos Munoz, who becomes the youngest front row starter at the Indianapolis 500 since Rex Mays started on the front row in 1935. But for right now, the story, the 9 remaining spots on the grid that are still open. Which drivers will fill those spots, and will there be bumping at the end of the day? As we get set to begin qualifying here today at the Speedway, let's get a check of conditions first. The sun is out, and Katie Hargett, it looks like weather will not be an issue here today at the world's greatest race course.
You are absolutely right, Mike King. It is absolutely gorgeous down here on pit lane. Just a few clouds in the sky, sun is shining, and it's hot down here. The air temperature is about 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and the track is hotter than it ever got yesterday. It's track temperature is 110 degrees already and climbing very quickly. And I think Nick Yeoman's down on further down pit lane, checking out the drivers about to set for bump day.
Yeah, that's right, Katie. Down here at the tech line, the good news, folks, is that those nine remaining spots are going to be filled, barring any accidents here in bump day qualifying, because we do have nine cars in line. Those nine drivers in order: Buddy Lazier, Anna Beatrice, Sebastian Saavedra, Connor Daly, Graham Rahal, Tristan Vautier, Pippa Mann, Joseph Newgarden, and the ninth car in line is the most recent addition to the entry list. That is the 81 of Catherine Legg. So the only car, Mike King, that we are missing right now in tech line is the 17 of Michelle Jourdain Jr., who was really searching for speed yesterday in pole day qualifying. So we've got nine spots open on the scoring pylon and nine cars in line. So once we fill those up, we should see some bumping.
Yeah, an engine change overnight for a very disappointed Graham Rahal, and it appears that that engine change has provided him with the speed that he will need as Graham went out this morning in the practice session before qualifications get underway. Way. Graham turning laps at better than 226 miles an hour. His quick lap in the number 15 Midas-sponsored Rahal Letterman Lanigan car, 226.564. It was a Chevy party yesterday in the Fast 9. In fact, all of the nine drivers in the Fast 9 powered by Chevrolet. Just about time to get our first car on the track, but before we do, let's get our first break out of the way, and then we'll return to the world's greatest race course.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into victory lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500th bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
The Indianapolis 500, the greatest 500 miles in racing.
They sweep majestically into the southeast turn.
The greatest sound in racing. The Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing. Sunday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on ABC. Telecast presented by GoDaddy.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. Bump day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we begin now final preparations for the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500. In fact, we'll be dropping the green flag just about 1 week exactly from right this minute, about 7 or 8 minutes after the hour of noon Eastern Daylight Time, next Sunday, May the 26th. Hope you're going to be with us here on IndyCar Radio and the IMS Radio Network for live coverage of that. Donald Davidson, Speedway historian, joins us as we continue to wait for our first driver to go out on track here on Bump Day. And Donald, kind of interesting, as once again we salute Ed Carpenter. As how long has it been, Donald, since a Hoosier driver has actually started this race on the front row, much less on pole position?
Well, there was quite a bit of discussion about what how you would clarify that, because Ed was born in Illinois, but lived most of his life here and went to school here and everything like that. So,
and I think he considers himself an Indianapolis guy, an Indiana guy for sure.
Well, as far as a Hoosier-born pole sitter, there's a gray area. There's always a gray area. Tony Stewart in 1996, because Scott Brayton was fatally injured, and so
was moved
Stewart,
to the pole.
Stewart
right.
Moved from second to first. Probably the last resident, although there was an argument for Scott Sharp, who, when he won the pole in 2001, I think was living in Carmel. And but I would say probably Pancho Carter in 1985, who had lived in Brownsburg for several years then and another 30 years since.
Yep.
So we think of him as a Brownsburg person, although he was actually born in Racine, Wisconsin. His parents were on the way to the race at Milwaukee, and Dwayne had to drop her off at the hospital to have the baby while he went out to race. That's a true story.
Wow.
Anyway, he was his formative years were in Speedway. He went to Carl Fisher School and then went back to California and then returned in his early 20s to go to Brownsburg. The last time that there was a Hoosier born driver would be Pat O'Connor in 1957 from North Vernon. So
have to go
it's
way
been
back.
A while.
Yeah,
but,
and Donald, interesting to note, once again, Carlos Munoz, we've all been impressed with this young driver from Colombia in South America. The fact that he becomes the youngest front row starter at 21 years of age since Rex Mays 78 years ago. Quite an impressive feat for him.
There was quite a bit of scrambling last night. Rex Mays won the pole in 35. And then to try and find a front row starter, we had to think of all the 19, 20, and 21-year-olds, and then were they on the front row or not? Final note on Ed Carpenter. For many years, he lived right across the street from the Speedway High School. I mean, on the other side of the street. So, and then just moved when he got married. He continued to own the house and had other racers live in it, and now I believe it's since been sold. But
and Donald, interesting to note that with Marco Andretti's front row start, he's equaled his dad. I didn't realize until that I was told by Russ Thompson, from the statistician from NBC Sports. I just assumed that Michael Andretti had more than one front row start, but apparently his only one came in 1986. So Marco goes even, Steven, with Dad on that.
That is so amazing, because the one stat that Michael doesn't like to be reminded of is the fact that he's led more laps than any other person who didn't win. I think he ranks 10th at the moment. Michael Andretti led 332 laps, which is three more than Rick Mears, who won it four times.
Yeah. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're being told by Nick Yeoman at the south end of pit lane at the tech area that our first qualifier today on Bump Day is being held because of television. So because of that, we don't want to miss any of the action. We're going to go ahead and get another break out of the way. When we return, it looks like it's going to be Buddy Lazier who will be first out in the 91 car, the 1996 winner. So we'll do that when we come back. It should be about time to see the 91 car on track, first car of the day on Bump Day.
Listen in May to IndyCar Radio for your chance to win a free trip for four to the 2014 Indianapolis 500 and to be an honorary pit reporter. Brought to you by Exergen. No purchase necessary. Exergen Temporal Scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into victory lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
What's it like to drive an Indy car at the famed Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Now the Indy racing experience can put you in the driver's seat. That's right, you can drive a real Indy car at the world's greatest race course. Packages start at under $400, but hurry, sessions are selling out fast. Call 1-888-357-5002 or go online to IndyRacingExperience.com. You driving a real Indy car, call 1-888-357-5002 now. Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. Hey, welcome back. It's Bump Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it sounds like Nick Yeoman, that Buddy Lazier is fired. They're just about ready to end this TV delay and get him out on track, huh?
Yeah, that is right. He has hopped in that bright orange and black car. Sponsorship now on the side pod of that racing machine, Advanced Auto Parts. This, of course, was the chassis that John Alesi drove last year, obviously with a little more horsepower this year, a Chevrolet engine. And let's listen as Buddy Lazier heads out on the racetrack.
So the 1996 winner is away, and the good thing, Bake, about this chassis that Buddy is using is John Alesi didn't drive it very fast. There's still plenty of speed left in it.
It's still under warranty.
Absolutely, and Buddy Lazier, of course, has a storied history here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Bake, and you know, most noted, obviously, for the win in 1996, but the guy's done a lot of great stuff here.
His 16 starts at the Speedway. His best start was fifth back in 96, the same year that he won it. Mike, he's got five top fives, six top tens. He's won almost $6 million here. And as you and I chatted yesterday, when he won the race in 96, they literally had to shoehorn him in the car and then take him out of the car because of that bad back. And he is going to be the oldest driver in the field At 45 years of age.
Wow. So for Buddy Lazier, hard to believe this would be his 17th Indianapolis 500-mile race that he's qualifying for. Mark Janes, it seems like just yesterday that we were talking about Buddy Lazier as one of the young guns in the Izod IndyCar Series. Of course, he won the series championship in 2000, but now he is the oldest driver in the field. Mark, can we be getting that old?
We're aging gracefully, we'll say.
My.
But no question that the Lazier family, going back to brother Bob, has a pretty strong history here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and now a lengthy one, of course. Of course, efforts were made at Long Beach to get Jacques in the Indianapolis 500. That did not materialize, and I think Jacques took what efforts that he was able to gather together and put them toward this effort. So you'll find all three male members of the Lazier family in the paddock and in the garage area. One of the most likable drivers we have had in the Izod IndyCar Series, and again, from that stint in 96 when he won the 500 through his championship season and for a handful of seasons afterwards, he and Ron Hemmelgarn and all of those guys got together and created some magical times in open-wheel racing. And I think it's worth noting that several members of several different teams came together to help make this effort possible. Mike, they garaged the car, used the shop from Hemmelgarn Racing on Gasoline Alley here. Eric Bachelard from Conquest Racing is kind of heading up this effort.
Yep.
Guys, former Dry and Reinbold guys are here, so a lot of folks helping Buddy Lazier make this happen.
Buddy yesterday did a four-lap average of 223.073, was bumped from the 24 driver field that was established yesterday. This morning, however, he did laps at better than 225 miles an hour, but Bake on lap number one down around where he was yesterday, in fact very close to what he did on his first lap yesterday, 223.760 first lap time speed for Buddy Lazier.
And let's reiterate, Mike, this is the first of three tries today.
That's
so
right.
If this doesn't work, go ahead, take the speed. You always have the opportunity to go back out again.
That's right. Unlike rules of the past many years ago where once you took those four laps, that was it, that's what you had to stand on, now you can withdraw that four-lap speed average and come back out at least two more times. So for Buddy Lazier, second lap, Bake, looks like it's going to be fairly consistent. Around that 223.5 mark is right now Buddy Lazier at 223.616, and he's doing it in the heat of the day. Very quickly, as we keep our eye on Buddy Lazier, Michelle Jourdain is standing by on pit lane with our Jake Query.
Michelle Jourdain is actually watching the run of Buddy Lazier here, and you're one of them that's going to have to eventually get out and do what Buddy's doing right now, try to attempt to get that car into the field. Take me through yesterday and just your thoughts now heading into today. And as you watch Buddy, your thoughts on his run.
Well, yeah, it's going to be today a long day, I think, for some of us. No, yesterday we went out in the morning and we thought we were better, but we went out in qualifying and I had to lift some time, so they just, it was pretty much, we didn't have a run. So we found some, I don't know how to say, some weird things in the car. So at the end we just went out to check how the car was. Not even really an attempt in qualifying. We tried a different setup this morning. I was not comfortable in it. So we're gonna try Graham's setup. He's gonna have a feel to see, just to make sure the setup is exactly the same in his car and in my car, and he has the same feeling. You know, once he's done qualifying, and then after that we'll work on it and try to getting in the field today.
All right, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
There are, of course, Mike King, the spots available today. There are one more cars as of right now. There is one more car than there are spots available. Michelle Jourdain is one that will watch, wait, and eventually get out and try to qualify.
Our 25th qualifier, Jake, is Buddy Lazier, the 96 winner. His four-lap average, 223.442. And as Buddy pulls down pit lane, Anna Beatriz goes out. She will attempt to become the 26th qualifier for the 97th Indy 500.
Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Brickyard, Gasoline Alley, the greatest spectacle in racing, racing capital of the world, Indy, Indy 500, Indianapolis 500, IndyCar, Indy Lights, and Indy Racing League are trademarks owned and or licensed by Brickyard Trademarks. Izod is a trademark of Phillips Van Houston Corporation. Firestone is a trademark owned or licensed by Bridgestone Firestone North American Tire. Any rebroadcast or other use of the information, descriptions, and content of this broadcast without the written consent of the IMS Radio Network is strictly prohibited. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bob Jones, President and CEO of Old National Bank. On behalf of our board of directors and our associates, I'd like to proudly salute our veterans and all the brave women and men actively serving in the United States military. And to your families, we thank you as well. That's why Old National is so pleased to sponsor Armed Forces Bump Day. It's a small way to show our appreciation to these true American heroes.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. Anna Beatrice on track, looking to become the 26th qualifier for the 2013 running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Bia, Mark, pretty good first lap at 223.987. Her second lap is quicker at 224.030.
If you want to include all forms of racing, she's another one of those drivers in the field that's a former race winner, winning in the Firestone Indy Lights. And I think a lot of folks, you talked about it during the break, really have their fingers crossed that good things are going to start happening for her.
Yep.
Very likable, and I think has a ton of talent. There's some question as to how long this relationship is going to continue. I believe right now, at least through Detroit, there's been some talk because he tested at Barber in preseason that Stephen Wilson may join his brother with that team. But regardless of what the future holds moving forward, a race or two, it'd be nice to see her continue a solid effort, get at the show, and have a good Indianapolis 500.
So here she is in that brightly colored Ipiranga sponsored car from Brazil. Anna Beatriz, her third lap at 224.463. And Bake, as she gets set to come to the line, she has gotten quicker each and every lap here.
Yeah, Mike, 223.987, then 224.030, then 224.463. That's a little unusual. I think we only saw that one time yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. And let's see as she comes across the line. Anna Beatrice drops off just a hair on that fourth and final lap, but still solidly above 224. So the four-lap average after that fourth lap at 224.257, Donald Davidson for Anna Beatrice seems to be more than safe. 224.184 for Anna Beatrice is now Sebastian Saavedra will fire up the six car, the true car entry from Dragon Racing, and he'll roll out. But I know you had a comment on Anna.
I do. I think she just did a George Snyder because I was watching practice a little bit this morning, and I had three people that are going to try and qualify today that didn't go out, and she was one. So unless I'm mistaken, her first hot lap was under the green flag.
Well, but she turned laps during the week.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
but you mean today, actually today during this qualifying day.
She found out what the track was like on a qualifying
event. Yeah, she didn't go out this morning, Donald, and neither did the 55 car of Vautier. Or the 63 of Pippa Mann. So all three of those drivers hoping to qualify today. And Anna Beatrice, obviously, looks like she has managed to do just that, as Pippa will slot in on the inside right now of row number 9, just in front of Buddy Lazier. And Katie Hargett, you've got the 96 winner, Buddy Lazier.
I am. I'm down here with Buddy Lazier trying to qualify for your 17th Indianapolis 500, but your times have slowed a little bit since the morning practice.
Yeah, I mean, the track got warmer, and, you know, remember, we haven't had a lot of practice, and so we're kind of, I won't say guessing, but because we got a great engineer, but, you know, we got to back up what the data will show. So we did. We slowed down a little bit from this morning. We ran, but we know we can run 225s, so if we need it, we know the car's got it, so we'll just kind of see what the afternoon brings.
And Buddy, very confident that he's going to be able to get up to speed today, working with longtime engineer Mike King.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, for Buddy Lazier, Mark, I highly doubt that he's going to have to go back. I don't know, 223.442, there might be some danger there. Michelle Jourdain yesterday was very, very slow, relatively speaking, below 220. So if Jourdain goes out and is much quicker, then maybe Buddy Mark might have to go out and back it up with a 224.
But I wouldn't classify Michelle Jourdain Jr.'s comments to Jay Query earlier in the show as confident.
I would not either.
It could be a difficult day for them, but I think he knows that. And, again, we're getting into that period of time in qualifying where you're not so much just solely focused on what you can do and what your car can do. You will base your decision upon what you think other folks can do in terms of putting you in danger.
Good first lap for Sebastian Saavedra, the young man who will turn 22 at some point, I think, 23 here in just a couple of days. But at 22, living the dream, as already Bake got three 500 starts under his belt. And here he is, first lap, 224.965 for Saavedra. He's on a pretty good run right now.
Yeah, he's got a birthday on the 2nd of June, Mike. He'll be 23 years of age.
Yep.
This will be his third year to run the Indy 500.
Yep, and Saavedra, as we mentioned, 224.965, has the hair that Mark Jane sported as a younger man, and is the envy of most of us old guys down there on pit lane, as he's kind of have the, Mark, the boy band good looks.
Well, I never had that. There's no question. But, yeah, you know, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, and I'm sure you touched upon it too. You got to have a lot of respect for Sebastian Saavedra, driving a couple of years ago with Conquest, having the opportunities to run in the IndyCar Series evaporate on him. Jumped in a Firestone Indy Lights car for Andretti Autosport, tested the DW12 chassis a few times, and then had this opportunity materialize with Dragon Racing. A likable young man, and hopes to be around the series for a while and would like to start seeing some positive results.
Made his first start here at the series at the Speedway, driving for Brian Herta in a dramatic fashion. That's the only way you can put it when you find out, when you're laying flat on your back at Methodist Hospital, that you've qualified for the 500. That's fairly dramatic, that's for sure. Lap one for Sebastian, 224.965. Second lap, 225.240. Third lap for Sebastian Saavedra, 224.918. This is the True Car sponsored number 6 white and blue machine, fielded by Jay Penske's squad. Here he comes across the line. The young driver from Bogota, Colombia, will qualify for the Indianapolis 500. Fourth lap at 224.595. The four lap average speed, 224.929. We'll follow Connor Daly on the track when we come back to the Speedway.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into victory lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
The Indianapolis 500, the greatest 500 miles in racing.
They sweep majestically into the southeast turn.
The greatest sound in racing. The Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing. Sunday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on ABC. Telecast presented by GoDaddy.
Poison, live in concert. Friday, May 24th, Coors Light Carb Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with Poison. Get more info at Indy500.com. Coors Light, the official beer of Coors Light Carb Day.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. Bump day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, live coverage on IndyCar Radio and the IMS Radio Network. Great to have you with us, along with Donald Davidson, Mark Janes, and Jerry Baker. I'm Mike King in our broadcast booth, high above the front straight here at the world's greatest race course, as we keep our eye on the number 41 red, white, and blue ABC-supplied sponsored machine being driven by young Connor Daly. We've got an Indy guy on the pole and now a Noblesville guy trying to make his first race, Donald Davidson, as his first two laps give him a two-lap average of 223.714. He is the son of a former Indy 500 participant and at the same time a rookie here at the Speedway, and he's driving for A.J. Foyt. A lot of things going for Connor Daly this year.
Well, of course, this has been his ambition ever since he was a little boy, having been born into a racing family. and he just cherishes the Speedway so much. And he's really had his trials and tribulations in just the few days here. He's had sort of one of everything. He's had the I think still the only wall contact that I can think of,
yep.
And that was a pretty major shunt, as
on
the Brits say.
Yep.
And then he made a qualifying attempt yesterday and had a mechanical problem on it. And so he's getting a lot of experience. He's getting all the bad things, so it just it strengthens the character, I guess, and makes, you know, shows you further. Do you have the intestinal fortitude to keep going on?
He's one of four drivers looking to qualify for this race that would is the son of a former 500 participant. We'll talk more about that in a second. As Jerry Baker, we watched the 41 car come off of turn number four after a three-lap average of 223.631. So Connor Daly looks like he's going to put it in the show for now, but he's going to do it with a four-lap average speed of 223.582. That is just quicker than Buddy Lazier, so he would not be it doesn't look like he's going to be in danger of being on the bubble early on.
I talked to Brian Barnhart's father, who's on the crew today, earlier this morning, Mike, and they feel like they've got a qualified car, but I didn't get a lot of enthusiasm out of it.
Yeah, so they at least they're fast enough right now to feel kind of comfortable. Nick Yeoman, a quick update with Anna Beatrice.
Yeah, we're going to have a quick word with Anna Beatrice, qualified for the Indianapolis 500. We were talking this feeling of being here at Indianapolis, this never goes away, does it?
It never goes away. It's always surprising. It's my fourth year here, and every year is different. You know, last year we were qualified first day. This year we couldn't make it. It was closed, but so we are here again, a bump day. Hopefully we'll be in. Let's see what everybody does and see if we can focus on a race setup or try to stay wise and then see what's going to be up under the end of the day.
Anna Beatrice driving for Dale Coyne Racing. And, Mike, you say that sponsorship a little bit better than I do, but Ipiranga, the sponsor on that car.
Indeed, Ipiranga. Rolls right off your tongue right now. Anna Beatrice set to start in the middle of row number nine. We'll catch up with Graham Rahal's run when we return to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
You want to live Indy? All right, then it's time to gear up with IndyCar 13. Mobile app that lets you experience IndyCar racing on a whole new level.
Copy.
IndyCar 13 gives you eyes on the whole field. Exclusive features like live 4-in-1 mosaic views, and it'll let you see speed from all angles now.
Yeah, roger that.
You'll get as close to your favorite IndyCar drivers with live in-car cameras, and you'll never miss a lap with live track mapping.
Whoa, seriously?
That's right. You add live driver pit crew chatter to hear exactly what drivers and their teams are saying, and you've got an experience just like an IndyCar driver. And with IndyCar 13, you're much more than a spectator. You're living Indy. Hey, where are you going?
I'm stopping to download IndyCar 13.
And then after the race.
Too late.
Copy. Getting every millisecond of the race? That's powerful. To download IndyCar 13 now, call *Indy. Visit Google Play or the App Store. Only from Verizon. Airtime message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Google Play is a trademark of Google Inc. App Store is a service mark of Apple Inc. Don't call or text while driving.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. It's bump day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we are watching the Midas-sponsored yellow and black machine fielded by Rahal Letterman-Lanigan being piloted by Graham Rahal. First lap at 225.169, second lap 225.106. Jerry Baker, the third lap at 224.948. New engine, new Honda installed in this one overnight after they had some problems yesterday.
Yeah, this entire Rahal Letterman-Lanigan team, Mike, they told us like on Friday, hey, we're okay, but they've struggled the entire month of May so far.
Yeah, as for Graham's stats here at the Speedway, Bake, this, you know, it's hard to believe. This is another one of those guys that you start looking at his statistics here and thinking, have we really seen him that many times here already?
This will be his sixth 500, which is hard to believe. Best start was fourth in 2009, best finish third 2011. He comes across with a qualification run.
That fourth lap is over 224.8, so the four-lap average is a solid 225.074, certainly not fourth like we We saw him early on in his career here, but for his sixth 500, it looks like Graham Rahal can at least rest easy for right now as he becomes the fastest qualifier of the day two drivers that are out. Once again, the four-lap average, 225.074. Okay, Katie, you've got a guy who I'm guessing is going to be breathing a little bit easier this afternoon. Now he's ready to get some practice time in. We're talking about Connor Daly.
Yeah, Connor Daly definitely looking a little more relieved than you felt yesterday. You looks like you're safely in the show.
Yeah, I guess I'm relieved but disappointed. I mean, I'm a competitive racer. I mean, I like to compete to win, so, you know, starting on the last row isn't the ideal situation, but, I mean, that's all we had, really. So, at the moment, we'll just see if we can just make it in, and that'll be fine. I'll be happy to just start the race.
So Connor Daly looking to make some improvements during the Indianapolis 500, Mike King.
Yeah, and he'll certainly be able. He already has himself on the back row with that 223.582, but I'm not so sure. Maybe he'll get a 10th row start out of it. We'll have to wait and see as we watch Tristan Vautier on track. Let's get an update from the tech line and Jake Query.
Tristan Vautier goes into turn number one. Up next after Tristan Vautier will be the 63 machine of Pippa Mann. Then it's Joseph Newgarden in line. Then behind Newgarden, who, of course, yesterday had said he felt confident he would indeed get in today, you move back to the last car in line right now, and that is Catherine Legg. The interesting thing, of course, Catherine Legg, a teammate of Tristan Vautier. I have a feeling Catherine Legg's decision as to whether or not they will go out and make a run probably has a lot to do, Mike King, with whether or not the full-time entrant from Schmidt-Peterson and Schmidt-Hamilton Motorsports in the form of Tristan Vautier, how securely he puts himself in right now.
Yeah, Jake, I totally agree with you. If Vautier can put a solid 225 lap together and he's got plenty of cushion between himself and another three or four drivers that can be bumped, I say they go full speed ahead with the Catherine Legg program, but just not sure. And Vautier, Bake, on that warm-up lap, at 223.996, a little twitchy coming off of turn number four.
I've quit looking at the warm-up lap, Mike. Yeah. You and I yesterday saw guys going 222 that finished 225 in the next lap, and we had guys warming up at 226 that lost it the rest of the way around. So I don't know how significant that number is anymore.
Tristan Vautier looking to start his first Indianapolis 500-mile race. Was here a year ago in the Freedom 100, of course, is the 2012 Firestone Indy Lights champion and driving full-time this year for Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports in the Izod IndyCar Series. The first lap from Vautier is a good one. Catherine Legg, I think, can start strapping on the helmet. 226.060. So Vautier has come out today a little bit stronger than he was yesterday, for sure.
I found it interesting yesterday when we had Davey Hamilton up here. Now, he's not part of this particular car.
That's right.
But he is part of Schmidt's operation.
Team. That's right, yep.
And I could tell Davey was a little tense about this whole situation, saying, well, what if we knock one of our guys out? And like you say, Mike, this beat will solidify that situation.
Well, he drops down on that second lap just a bit. He loses nearly two-tenths of a second on lap number two to 224.901. So Vautier right now with a two-lap average of 225.479. We'll watch him as Nick Yeoman. You've caught up with Graham Rahal.
Yeah, we'll get a quick word with Graham Rahal. Fastest so far today. I know, obviously, looking for a lot more. Happy, though, or should I say content with the run?
Yeah, I mean, the run was good enough, and that's all we need. I think that, you know, for us, we need to get in. We need to focus on the race car this afternoon, and that's what we wanted to do, and I think we're, you know, achieved that successfully. I can't ask for much more. You know, the guys have done a great job.
All right, thank you. That is Graham Rahal. The white flag up in the air. Mike King for Tristan Vautier.
And Vautier's third lap is quicker at 225.511. So, Bake, it looks like Vautier will easily, if he can maintain this pace, will easily be the fastest qualifier of the day at this point, and will be sitting on the inside of row nine when this run is said and done.
Well, the fans out there may not know much about him, but he's a qualified racer. He was the 2012 Indy Lights Series champion with four wins, five poles, and seven podiums, so he can get the job done.
I want to remind you that headsets and scanners are provided to the IMS radio network by Racing Electronics. Racing Electronics, your number one source for professional race communications worldwide. The fourth lap, way down for Tristan Vautier, 223.041. Now, we thought we were going to see him on the inside of row nine. He loses a couple of positions, and right now, with the four-lap average of 224.873, that drops him to the outside of row nine as the 27th fastest qualifier overall. So 30 spots have been filled. Three spots remain for the 97th Indy 500.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into Victory Lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. Back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, 104 feet above the Yard of Bricks. Great to have you with us on Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. It's also a pleasure to welcome Bob Jones, the CEO of Old National Bancorp, to our IMS Radio Network booth here in the IMS Pagoda. And Mr. Jones, welcome to the Speedway. And I should also say thanks very much for everything that Old National is doing here, being the presenting sponsor of Bump Day here at the Speedway.
Well, we're proud to be part of this just great tradition, and more importantly, be part of an organization that's honoring the veterans. It's just great.
I know that Old National has an involvement with many employees that are military veterans. Tell us a little bit about Old National and how you became involved with that veterans program.
We work very hard to make sure when our veterans come back, they have a job. We have a dedicated resource that works. It does nothing but hiring military veterans. And at the same time, we also work with those veterans that have been deployed and help their families through the financial challenges they may have, and help a spouse that's been left at home. And how do you do the budget? How do you pay the bills? How do you save? How do you take the check that's coming in from the military to make sure we do the right thing for them as well?
Of course, the Speedway has been closely aligned with supporting the men and women of America's military for so many years, the race obviously being run on Memorial Day weekend. How did you decide to get Old National involved here at the Speedway?
Well, when they came to us with the opportunity to support the military, and you think about what our military folks do for us, and you combine that with the Indy 500, it doesn't get any better than that. It's just a chance to give back and to highlight the great thing these men and women do to protect the democracy of our country.
Of course, Old National is a good Indiana name. We've got a good Indiana driver on pole for the 2013 race.
It's going to be a Hoosier 500, and we're just pulling for him, and it's going to be great.
It's great to see you. I certainly look forward to seeing you 1 week from today as we return for the 97th Indianapolis 500. Enjoy the rest of your day here at the Speedway.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for all you do.
Once again, Bob Jones is the CEO of Old National Bancorp, and they today are the presenting sponsor of Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. Back with more from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Sonax, your complete premium brand of car care products. They are available at SonaxUSA.com. Sonax USA is pleased to partner with the Izod IndyCar Series for 2013 and sponsoring the Sonax Perfect Finish Award, a $50,000 prize to any team whose driver could win both races at IndyCar's doubleheader weekends in Detroit, Toronto, or Houston. For the best in car care products, go to SonaxUSA.com.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into Victory Lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. At the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Joseph Newgarden out on track in the Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing number 21, Century 21 car, as Joseph's first lap is a good one, 225.819. While we were away, Pippa Mann, the young lady from Ipswich, England has qualified at 224.649, 224.126, 224.174, 223.073. The 63 car being fielded by Dale Coyne Racing with a four-lap average of 224.005. Provisionally, she is on the outside of row number 10. As for Joseph Newgarden, the young driver from Hendersonville, Tennessee, as he looks to make his second Indianapolis 500-mile race start. And right now, Jerry Baker, very solid indeed. That first lap, 225.819. Second lap, 225.816.
Joseph, of course, looking to qualify, Mike, for his second 500. Last year, he started 7th and finished 25th. He was the 2011 Firestone Indy Lights champion. He's not had a great year on the IndyCar circuit, Mike, but in Brazil, he worked his way up from 25th to 5th and was right in the mix right there at the final flag.
Yeah, he had an opportunity to be on the podium for the first time. Unfortunately, it went away as he gave up a couple of positions in the closing laps. Okay, here comes Joseph Newgarden, the black, white, and yellow accented Century 21 car, the third lap, and this is a very consistent run, 225.690. Right now, he is carrying a three-lap average of 225.775 in Bake. This would make him far and away the fastest day two qualifier.
Don't you agree, Mike? The key right here is to put somebody between you and the bump car.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's doing that in great fashion.
Big
right way, now.
Yeah, big time. He is not going to have to worry at all as we see Joseph Newgarden already on the north end of the track. The Century 21 car will come off of turn number four, moves to the middle of the track, will come across the yard of bricks. Just a flash of color in front of us. The fourth lap is quick as well, 225.601. The four-lap average for Joseph Newgarden, easily the fastest of the day, 225.731 miles an hour. Let's hear from one of our rookies in the field. Tristan Vautier is with Katie Hargett. Katie?
Yeah, Tristan, you ripped off a couple good laps there, and then your last lap was a few miles an hour down. What happened there?
Yeah, it's a shame. We've had issues bouncing into the hard limiter yesterday as well, and it ruined our last lap, but the car was capable to go very fast, so that was the positive. Yeah, unfortunately, we might have to go back tonight and defend that. Hopefully not, but I was very happy about the car, really on the edge, but we had a fast car, too bad for this hard limiter thing.
Tristan Vautier trying to qualify for his very first Indianapolis 500. Nick Yeoman.
And Pippa Mann provisionally 30th right now. I got a little buffer zone. I guess that's okay. Confident that you won't have to go out again today?
Overall, I'm really happy with the car on that run. Honda did a great job with the maps they gave me today, and the Cyclops gear car just felt awesome out there on track. We had a little issue on the last lap. I must have picked up wind while I was out on track because I ran into the hard limiter on the last lap, and it killed my speed. It would have been nice to bring home a perfect set of four mid-224s. As it is, we're a little bit lower down, but the plus side is we do know if we have to go run later, there's easily more mile per hour in that car because of the last lap. For now, I think we're just going to watch what unfolds and then take a decision on it. But I don't see us withdrawing just to go again for the sake of it.
Thanks, Pippa. That is Pippa Mann, guys.
Okay, and as you mentioned, Nick, right now Pippa sits provisionally in that 63 car on the outside of row number 10. I don't think she's going to have to go back out, quite honestly, at 224.005. Okay, we're about to fill the field here. If Catherine Legg can get the job done, as Donald Davidson, the field of 33 would be full at just about 5 minutes. It'll probably be, when her run's done, about 4 minutes until 1 o'clock, as Catherine Legg is out right now in that Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports entry. We weren't sure if we were going to see her. She was pretty good this morning, and we'll see if Pippa Mann can put the Angie's List car in.
What a huge relief. We're about to, in more ways than one, we're about to see 33 here. Catherine Legg did not get out until this morning. Her third lap was 197, and some people say, well, that's not very first, but that includes the fuel check lap. Her fourth lap was 210. Her fifth lap was 216, and her sixth time by was 220 miles an hour.
Yep, and she wound up recording a quick lap this morning at 223.191, and she just did better than that, Bake, on lap number one, 223.349 for Catherine Legg. So right now, the Angie's List car would be the slowest in the field if she maintains that average, as Buddy Lazier right now, with a four-lap average of 223.442, has the slowest qualified four-lap average.
Well, this late showing of Catherine should not be a surprise, Mike. If you think back to a year ago, she didn't get on the track then until Thursday before the first day of qualifying on Saturday. They had a little legal dispute there with the Lotus folks. So I'm sure she doesn't like this, but at least it's not new territory for her.
Second lap is going to be slower, though, 222.894. And keep in mind, Michelle Jourdain has yet to qualify the other Ray Hall-Letterman-Lanigan car. Katie Hargett, while we keep our eye on Catherine Legg, let's check in with Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, Joseph Newgarden, so far, fastest of the day today.
Yeah, not too bad. We found a little bit of speed in the car, I guess, from yesterday, you know. It's a shame. I feel bad for our guys. They work really hard for this event, and you know, we have a great car. We really do. Century 21, it not only looks good, but it's fast, and we knew that yesterday, so to get bumped out was a bit of a shame for everyone. We didn't even get to really defend our position when it happened there. We didn't think we were really going to need to, but I feel great about the run today. At least we got it in real clean, and hopefully we can do some race running today.
And so Joseph Newgarden, fastest on bump day, Mike King.
Okay, and Joseph Newgarden is going to be comfortable. And clearly he felt like he had a better race car than the hand that was kind of dealt them. Right now, Newgarden set to start on the inside of row number 9 at 225.731 as we keep our eye on Catherine Legg, her third lap at 223.238. Want to remind you that hour 1 of bump day qualifications has been brought to you in part by Firestone, official tire of the IndyCar Series. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. By the Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. By Exergen temporal scanner thermometers, changing the way the world takes temperature, available at your favorite local retailer. And as we tell you about Exergen temporal scanners, we also want to tell you that lap 4 for Catherine Legg, 223.222, the 4-lap average, 223.176 miles an hour. It makes Catherine Legg's 4-lap time the bubble time. She is the slowest qualifier in the field for the 2013 Indianapolis 500-mile race as we approach the 1 o'clock hour. Today's coverage has also been brought to you by Henchman Racing Uniforms. Remember, nothing fits like a Henchman. By Old National Bank, proud to sponsor Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. By Verizon Wireless, official wireless supplier of the IndyCar Series. By Sonax, for the best in car care products, go to sonaxusa.com. By Chevrolet, find new roads. By Safety Clean, the official environmental service company of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. By Racing Electronics, your number one source for professional race communications worldwide. And by the American Dairy Association, remember that winners drink milk. Okay, going to let you know that we're expecting plenty of practice and perhaps a bump or two taking place between now and when we return on the network at 5 o'clock. Anything that happens, you can hear it live on IndyCar.com. Of course, thanks to our entire IMS Radio Network crew. I'm Mike King, inviting you to join us later today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, back on the network for the final hour of Bump Day qualifications. This program is copyrighted by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. Thirty-three drivers have qualified for the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500, but one is still hoping to bump his way in. Live coverage of Bump Day from the world's greatest race course, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, is brought to you by Firestone, the official tire of the IndyCar Series. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. By the Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. By the National Guard, always ready, always there. By Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, accurate temperature with a gentle forehead scan, available at your favorite local retailer. By Old National Bank, proud to sponsor Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. By Henchman Racing Uniforms, nothing fits like a Henchman. By Verizon Wireless, official wireless supplier of the IndyCar Series. By Sonax, for the best in car care products, go to sonaxusa.com. By Chevrolet, find new roads. By Safety Clean, protection, choices, people, make green work. And by the American Dairy Association, winners drink milk. Welcome back to 16th in Georgetown, Georgetown in Speedway, Indiana, the home of the world's greatest race course. Of course, as we left you today at 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, Catherine Legg filled out the field of 33 for the 97th Indy 500, the 4-lap average of 223.176 miles an hour. And Mark James, we have watched over the last 4 hours some furious practice sessions going on. We at one time saw 18 cars engaged in what looked like a race day type draft. All of those cars on the front straight at the same time. But, boy, what an outstanding afternoon of practice we have seen. But for one Michelle Jourdain Jr., it has not been a good day at all.
Started with him very early today during our first hour with Jay Query, and I was able to anchor coverage on the local affiliate 1070 The Fan at 107.5 FM, and we followed that story via Michael Young, and his disposition has not changed. I mean, Graham Rahal went out of that car, shook it down, tried to figure out what the problem was. Graham Rahal brought it in and said, "Boys, you got me. Something about this car just isn't right." And we even inquired as to the possibility of maybe Graham Rahal's backup car, maybe a backup car for James Jakes, and Michelle Jourdain Jr. basically said that was not an option. He is at a loss. The team is at a loss. They're throwing some suspension changes at it, maybe some rear and front wing changes at it, and they hope to be able to find some speed. But, Mike, I got to believe, given the fact that Carr's given three attempts in one day, they still don't feel comfortable even doing that, because if that's the case, they would have done that by now.
Well, not only do they have to find some speed, they have to find 12 miles an hour. Right now, Michelle Jourdain Jr. is out on the track, and he has jumped it up from 211 and change to now 216 and change. However, that's a far cry from doing four laps that would be capable of bumping Catherine Legg's four-lap average of 223.176. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to check in with Michael Young to get an update on Michelle Jourdain Jr. and find out exactly what's going on. But Nick Yeoman, about 30 minutes ago, we were watching as the pole sitter, Ed Carpenter, was out on track with, there were, I think we counted 15 cars at that time out on track in what looked like a race day draft simulation. And he and Sebastian Saavedra made a move. It looked like he was coming to pit lane when suddenly he pulled the car back out and around and nearly collected our pole sitter during that session. A very, very close call for Ed Carpenter.
Yeah, Ed Carpenter signing some autographs for some fans back here in Gasoline Alley. And Ed, I know things got quite dicey there during practice. You and Sebastian Saavedra certainly looked like you had a moment on the front stretch. How wild was that?
I was just coming out of the pits. Sebastian can make a lot of things look wild. I was going to let him go on the outside, and he was just impatient. So it's no big deal. I was just working back into the pack, trying to finish up our race prep.
Doing all the media yesterday, I know you enjoyed the Pacers game. What's it been like 24 hours being the pole sitter of the Indianapolis 500?
It's back to work today. We had a great day yesterday, and we're okay today. Yeah, the car didn't start out great today, and we made a lot of improvements and made the car better in some pretty bad conditions late in the day. So I think we're in pretty good shape at this point.
How about the fan support? Obviously, a lot of fans out here wanting autographs, wanting pictures. It's always been a big deal, whether if you're a driver here at Indianapolis, but especially in the last 24 hours.
Oh yeah, it's great. I mean, it's hard because I can't
get them all.
I can't get them all right now, and you always have to walk away from some, because if you stand, I'll be there the rest of the day. So that's the only part that stinks is not being able to get to all of them. So hopefully everyone will be patient and got all week to sign autographs.
I know you got a lot of obligations. Thanks. That is Ed Carpenter, Mike King. They brought that Fuzzy's Ultra Premium Vodka car back to Gasoline Alley. So it looks like Ed Carpenter, at least for today, will be done as far as track activity.
We still have several cars out on track turning practice laps. We continue to wait and wonder about Michelle Jourdain Jr. And when we come back, Michael Young will fill us in on the latest as Bump Day continues at the world's greatest race course.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into victory lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
Sonax, your complete premium brand of car care products. They are available at SonaxUSA.com. Sonax USA is pleased to partner with the Izod IndyCar Series for 2013 and sponsoring the Sonax Perfect Finish Award, a $50,000 prize to any team whose driver could win both races at IndyCar's doubleheader weekends in Detroit, Toronto, or Houston. For the best in car care products, go to SonaxUSA.com.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. It's Bump Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, along with my longtime broadcast partner, Mark James. I'm Mike King here in the IMS Pagoda, the IMS Radio Network broadcast booth, 104 feet above the Yard of Bricks, as we continue to watch a very spirited Sunday afternoon of practice going on. Dario Franchitti, the three-time Indy 500 winner, rolls down pit lane. James Jakes will flash across the Yard of Bricks as we continue on, and the clock now begins to roll under 52 minutes for Michelle Jourdain. That's all the time he has left, if, in fact, he is going to put a car in the 97th running of the Indy 500. We'll just have to wait and wonder. And as we do, Katie Hargett, tell us about the conditions. If they decide to push one into Techline, what are they going to deal with out there?
They are going to deal with a very sticky track. I talked with the folks at Firestone, and the track is 121 degrees, which means that those tires are getting heated up really quick and sticking to the track really well, Mike King.
Okay, so Michael Young, let's check in with you. You've been following this Michelle Jourdain Jr. story today, and when he went out about an hour and a half ago and was doing laps at 211 miles an hour, I think everyone agreed it's just about time for them to pack that car up, because there's no way you're going to find enough speed to be fast enough. What is the story right now as we see the last quick lap recorded by Jourdain was 216.959.
And that was with a toe, Mike King. Put that in the record book as well. So certainly by himself, he'll need a lot more than what he's currently showing. That team went to work on the rear end. They've adjusted about everything that they can on that car. He just left pit lane about 30 seconds ago. He will take that car back out. The word from their pit box is he thinks it's a little better. But it needs to be a lot better if he's going to qualify for the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500. It started early today. The car, very uncomfortable, actually started at the beginning of the month. Of all three of those Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan cars, none of them felt comfortable to any of the drivers. They got brand new chassis. Actually, the one that is being driven by Michelle Jourdain Jr. was a car driven by Mike Conway in Long Beach, a brand new Dallara chassis. Nothing has felt right about that car, although we know it was fantastic on the road and street circuits, but it's not as good here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Michelle said, I need help on this, so they put Graham Rahal in the car. Graham got in, and I had an opportunity to talk to him. He was just getting ready to hop back in his car. He said, I don't know what to tell you. I can't feel anything in the rear end. I told her to put more rear wing in it, give me more downforce, then the car got looser. They put more downforce in, the car got looser still. He said, there's something wrong with this car, wow, and I can't tell you what it is. So when I talked to Michelle Jourdain, looking very despondent and almost unconfident in his ability to get that car up to speed, he said, if Graham Rahal can't get it up to speed, how am I going to do it? I'm not even a full-time driver. He said, I'm not going to risk it all to try to make it in the show if this car is unable to qualify. So there's not a big confidence level in that car right now, and I'm not quite sure Michelle is willing to take a chance to try to push it to the limit just to make the field of 33. So certainly a very frustrated crew down here, but to find that 6, 7, 8 miles an hour they're going to need to get them quick like Catherine Legg, near impossible, I would imagine, at this stage of the afternoon as he comes back down pit lane.
Yeah, I agree. You got to find nearly a second a lap, and boy, that's a whole bunch of time. One of our Exergen pit reporters, Michael Young, with an update on the Michelle Jourdain Jr. situation. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature. Let's go to yet another of our Exergen pit reporters as Katie Hargett is caught up with three-time Indy 500 winner Elio Castroneves. Katie, will he be celebrating a fourth 500-mile race win 1 week from today?
That is a very good question, Mike King. What do you think? We'll find out from himself. Elio, fourth win for you this year?
Oh, well, I'm going there thinking that way, of course. But unfortunately, there is 32 other drivers out there that they probably do not agree with me. And but right now, we're feeling very good. We just finished our day today. Shelby Power, Pennzoil Ultra looks good. We still have some adjustments. It's always a little bit to thinking about it. Weather is going to be playing a very big factor here, and we just got to make sure that we know what to do. And right now, put it away, clean it, and go back on Friday.
There you hear it from Elio himself. 32 other drivers trying to take that win from him, Mike King.
If Elio does it, he'll become the fourth member of the four-time Winners Club. Of course, Dario Franchitti will start next Sunday's race with an opportunity to do that as well. Michael Young, an update on Michelle Jourdain Jr.?
Not want to call an end to the day for this Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan team, Mike, but they are down. They're putting more ethanol in there. There is an ethanol filling station down at the north end of Pit Lane, and I caught Michelle's eye, and I gave him the thumbs up or thumbs down, and he just despondently shook his head no.
Wow. So it looks like for Michelle Jourdain Jr., that car could go down without a fight, not firing a single shot at qualifying. All three qualification attempts remaining for the 17 car with the Office Depot sponsorship fielded by Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan. But right now, with just 46 and a half minutes remaining to qualify for the 2013 Indianapolis 500, it looks like Michelle Jourdain Jr. may be headed back to the garage area.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into victory lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
Poison, live in concert. Friday, May 24th, Coors Light Carb Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with Poison. Get more info at Indy500.com. Coors Light, the official beer of Coors Light Carb Day.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.
Catherine Legg qualifies for the Indianapolis 500, currently on the bubble. I know that's not the place to be, but considering maybe what your plans were a couple weeks ago, got to feel good to be here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah, it feels awesome to be here. We really haven't trimmed out at all yet. You know, we've done less than 20 laps so far, so I don't think that's an indication of the speed that we will have. Well, I certainly hope not, but you know, we're doing it really sensibly, one step at a time, and we wanted to get like one down and in the books, and now we're going to go and think about what we're going to do next and come back for another attempt later for sure. I'm just really happy to be here and really grateful to Sam and Rick and everybody who's helped make this happen.
We're glad to see you here.
Thank you.
That is Catherine Legg, currently 33rd on the bubble.
And that interview between Nick Yeoman and Catherine Legg occurred just after 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as she became the 33rd qualifier for the 2013 500. Welcome back. As it is Bob, it is rather Old National Bank Corp, Old National Armed Forces bump day here. A little bit later, we're going to be hearing from Bob Jones, who is the CEO of Old National, as we want to say thanks for them. Everything that they've done here today, it's been an outstanding day. Mark James has been absolutely gorgeous, and fans who have been out today, they saw a flurry of activity qualification-wise between noon and 1, and they have seen what has almost been at times race-like conditions out on track, as it's been a very busy day for practice.
Yeah, very well put. I think looking at what is we come to expect from bump day in terms of the drama associated with that, we talked a little bit about whether or not folks really miss the drama of drivers hopping around from garage to garage, teams pulling out backup cars and basically running blocks up and down the tech inspection to try to protect their positions and whatnot, and the drama of a car going out as the gun fires. And while certainly all of that is missing from this bump day, if you are a race fan and you want an opportunity to see those 33 drivers who we think will make up the field for the 97th running, today was a picture-perfect day, not only weather-wise, but as you suggest, in terms of those cars already solidly in the field. I know Andretti Autosport put in a ton of laps today among all five cars running nose to tail. Ed Carpenter was out there with them for a while and other drivers too. So yeah, it's been a flurry of activity. Rarely, other than the times that there have been cautions on the course, and those were for track inspections, has the track been quiet and not had a handful of cars on it.
Mark, I think Catherine Legg deserves a tip of the hat. What she has been able to do in such a short amount of time, it was yesterday at this time that it was essentially announced that that she would probably officially get a shot. We didn't even know if that was going to happen, really, until she got into the car today.
Yeah, I don't think that probably because of the fact that she could be the 33rd fastest car in the field. But, again, no test time, and to show up and have that little amount of time. I think what Pippa has done is equally as impressive because Pippa's never been in a DW12. The laps that she turned were somewhat limited. She never piloted a DW12 until she had a refresher on Monday. Did not go out this morning in the morning warm-up session because she said that her and the team made the decision that they didn't want to waste the miles of the car, plus they didn't feel like that those conditions were similar to what they would see in qualifying. So I think between those two, you have to be awfully impressed with what they did in a limited amount of time. And I think a tip of the cap's got to go to Connor Daly, Mike, with the issues that he had yesterday. Slap of the wall on Thursday, you got to wonder if maybe his confidence had taken a bit of a hit, but he shook all of that off, got the car today, and put it solidly in the field. We're very happy for Connor Daly as well.
Well, right now, with right at 40 minutes of qualification time remaining before the gun goes off at 6 o'clock, it would appear that Michelle Jourdain Jr.'s hopes of being a part of the starting lineup for the 2013 Indy 500 have gone away. Donald Davidson, we take a look at some of the work that has been turned in today by some of the really great drivers in this field, including three-time Indy 500 winner Dario Franchitti and his teammate 2008 winner Scott Dixon. Four wins between them. They have done 273 laps of practice today. 137 for Dixon, 136 for Dario. That's a lot of work.
Well, they, because there's so much practice time available here, I know a lot of the teams feel that it's almost like a free test opportunity. So a number of them typically back in the two qualifying weekend format, I know a lot of teams like Penske, they would use the track for learning what they could for other races. I did want to make one point here that I was watching the TV monitor, and maybe I shouldn't be doing that because we're radio, yeah. But it showed a shot of Michelle Jourdain Jr. in the cockpit, so I don't think they've given up yet. It appeared that he's going to be going out.
Well, we're going to get it from the horse's mouth because the guy who owns that car, of course, is Bobby Rahal. And Michael Young, you've caught up with the 86 500 winner.
Yeah, Bobby, you have driven many cars in your day, and obviously your son gives great feedback as well. He seems as perplexed as Michelle about this 17 car. What do you know at this time?
Well, I mean, we're definitely struggling there and don't really know why. We've changed quite a few things on it, to all the aero, you know, front nose, underwing, rear wing. You know, Graham went out and drove it and confirmed what Michelle, you know, was saying. And so we're really, I'm afraid we're not getting desperate, but we're running out of, out of things that we can do responsibly. And of course, I've been in that position before, and it's no fun, and I really feel for Michelle. You know, we're gonna continue to try things until we find out what the heck's going on there. But it's clearly something that's I don't know. You know, it's got us all baffled, and we'll give it our best shot and see what happens.
What Graham said is that the more you try to tweak it to make it better, the worse it got.
Well, I mean, we put his setup on it and what have you, and, you know, so you think you copy everything, you think you do it all, and it's still, it's a very different car from Graham, so I don't know what's going on with it. Like I've said, we've kind of changed the obvious, you know, and there's a few other things to try. But being a realist, I'm not too optimistic at this stage.
That said, Graham and James looks very good at this point.
Yeah, I think they're, we didn't get a lot of full, of race running this week. Trying to find, some pace. But we got, I think Graham's happy and James seems happy with his car from what I understand. And I think Graham's real happy. So, we've got one more session, on the warm-up, for carb day. And think about it next few days and try to make it even bit better, but so far so good.
Best of luck the rest of the day.
Thank you.
That's 86 winner Bobby Rahal, owner of Rahal Letterman Lenigan Racing, to Nick Yeoman.
Yeah, I'm here with our defending Eyes on IndyCar Series champion Ryan Hunter-Reay, and you got one pit stall ahead of Michelle Jourdain Jr. You went through a similar situation a couple years ago, missing the race and then ultimately getting back in. What must be going on through Michelle's head right now as they're searching for speed?
I don't remember that because it was so tragic. I just lost it. It's gone. It's out of my mind. No, we've been there for sure. This is hard stuff. And it's as hot as it is. This is not ideal right now. Trying to bump your way into the field. So I certainly feel for these guys. I want to go give them some help any way I can. But yeah, I just got out of the car after working on race setup and now looking at this. There's bumping going on at Indy, so. This is a situation I woke up this morning. I was very glad I wasn't in, which is qualifying on Sunday.
Everything good with your car?
Yeah, we took it out that last run, and we really found some good changes in traffic. So I feel like we're real racy. I'm happy with it.
All right, thank you. Ryan Hunter-Reay with a little perspective. Mike King, here's a guy that, boy, is at the top of the mountain right now in the Eyes at IndyCar Series, but he knows this feeling very well of trying to find some speed in the final hours and, unfortunately, not just being there.
Yeah. Of course, he won at Barber Motorsports Park earlier this year, and Ryan Hunter-Reay comes in with a nice head of steam. He did 80 laps today, his best lap, 218.796, and really, most of the fast guys, that's about where they fell in, but you know, that high 218, low 219 range. So that's pretty much the race pace I think we're expecting at this point. The Michelle Jourdain Jr. situation continues to hang over us, and perhaps we'll be able to answer that question when we come back. Will he qualify, or will he park the 17 car? We'll try to answer that when we return to the world's greatest race course.
You want to live Indy? All right, then it's time to gear up with IndyCar 13. The mobile app that lets you experience IndyCar racing on a whole new level.
Copy.
IndyCar 13 gives you eyes on the whole field. Exclusive features like live 4-in-1 mosaic views. It'll let you see speed from all angles now.
Yeah, roger that.
You'll get as close to your favorite IndyCar drivers with live in-car cameras, and you'll never miss a lap with live track mapping.
Whoa, seriously?
That's right. You add live driver pit crew chatter to hear exactly what drivers and their teams are saying, and you've got an experience just like an IndyCar driver. And with IndyCar 13, you're much more than a spectator. You're living Indy. Hey, where are you going?
I'm stopping to download IndyCar 13.
And then after the race.
Too late.
Copy. Getting every millisecond of the race? That's powerful. To download IndyCar 13 now, call Star Indy. Visit Google Play or the App Store. Only from Verizon. Airtime message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Google Play is a trademark of Google Inc. App Store is a service mark of Apple Inc. Don't call or text while driving.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. Back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, 104 feet above the Yard of Bricks. Great to have you with us on Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. It's also a pleasure to welcome Bob Jones, the CEO of Old National Bancorp, to our IMS Radio Network booth here in the IMS Pagoda. And Mr. Jones, welcome to the Speedway. And I should also say thanks very much for everything that Old National is doing here, being the presenting sponsor of Bump Day here at the Speedway.
Well, we're proud to be part of this just great tradition, and more importantly, be part of an organization that's honoring the veterans. It's just great.
I know that Old National has an involvement with many employees that are military veterans. Tell us a little bit about Old National and how you became involved with that veterans program.
We work very hard to make sure when our veterans come back, they have a job. We have a dedicated resource that works. It does nothing but hiring military veterans. And at the same time, we also work with those veterans that have been deployed and help their families through the financial challenges they may have, and help a spouse that's been left at home. And how do you do the budget? How do you pay the bills? How do you save? How do you take the check that's coming in from the military to make sure we do the right thing for them as well?
Of course, the Speedway has been closely aligned with supporting the men and women of America's military for so many years. The race obviously being run on Memorial Day weekend. How did you decide to get Old National involved here at the Speedway?
Well, when they came to us with the opportunity to support the military, and you think about what our military folks do for us, and you combine that with the Indy 500, it doesn't get any better than that. It's just a chance to give back and to highlight the great thing these men and women do to protect the democracy of our country.
Of course, Old National is a good Indiana name. We've got a good Indiana driver on pole for the 2013 race.
It's going to be a Hoosier 500, and we're just pulling for him, and it's going to be great.
It's great to see you. I certainly look forward to seeing you 1 week from today as we return for the 97th Indianapolis 500. Enjoy the rest of your day here at the Speedway.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for all you do.
Once again, Bob Jones is the CEO of Old National Bank Corp, and they today are the presenting sponsor of Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. Back with more from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Brickyard, Gasoline Alley, the greatest spectacle in racing, racing capital of the world, Indy, Indy 500, Indianapolis 500, IndyCar, Indy Lights, and Indy Racing League are trademarks owned and or licensed by Brickyard Trademarks. IZOD is a trademark of Phillips Van Houston Corporation. Firestone is a trademark owned or licensed by Bridgestone Firestone North American Tire. Any rebroadcast or other use of the information, descriptions, and content of this broadcast without the written consent of the IMS Radio Network is strictly prohibited. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into Victory Lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
The Indianapolis 500, the greatest 500 miles in racing.
They sweep majestically into the southeast turn.
The greatest sound in racing. The Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing. Sunday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on ABC. Telecast presented by GoDaddy.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. It's Old National Armed Forces Bump Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The question is, will there be a bump here in the final 27 minutes of qualifying for the 2013 race? One driver we know isn't going to have to worry about it. Is standing by with Katie Hargett. She's got Takuma Sato, our current IZOD IndyCar Series Championship leader. Katie?
That's right. Takuma is going into the Indianapolis 500 leading points. How confident are you on your race day car, Takuma?
Hopefully we'll be competitive. I mean, that's what we're finding in today, and hopefully COVID is the last chance. But so far, you know, quite positive, a lot of positive, so I'm confident.
And what about getting AJ Foyt back into victory lane?
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, we carried a lot of great momentum the last four events, but then let's reset this one. It's a completely different scenario, and the environment in the oval is totally different. But, you know, I'm really happy to see AJ back in the pit stand, and hopefully we have keep him a really good smile.
There you go, Michael Young.
We're here with Will Power. Caution on the speedway. Will got into the wall a bit out in turn four.
We were just doing practice on pit stops and went out in cold, used tires, so no biggie.
I talked to Elio a little bit earlier. He said, how's your race setup? Good? He said, it's okay. How is your race setup coming?
Actually, the last time was really good. We went to AJ's setup, but we've been through so many different scenarios of setup, so I think finally we've got something that's reasonable.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Will Power on the side of turn number two. Brush. Oh, and that is the reason for...
Okay, Michael Young, thanks so much. As Michael back in the Penske garage cutting out just a little bit. Want to remind you, headsets and scanners are provided to the IMS Radio Network by Racing Electronics. Racing Electronics, your number one source for professional race communications worldwide. As we're winding down on bump day here at the Speedway, about 25 minutes remaining. 33 cars are in, one is left right now out there on track. Michelle Jourdain Jr. out there all by himself, trying to find enough speed to challenge the four-lap average of Catherine Legg, but he's got a long way to go, as he will need to post a two-lap average better than 223.176 miles an hour.
Hi, this is Bob Jones, President and CEO of Old National Bank. On behalf of our board of directors and our associates, I'd like to proudly salute our veterans and all the brave women and men actively serving in the United States military. And to your families, we thank you as well. That's why Old National is so pleased to sponsor Armed Forces Bump Day. It's a small way to show our appreciation to these true American heroes.
There are times when it's critical to know the temperature.
Guys, temperature here on the track surface up to 128 degrees, giving these drivers all that they can handle.
And there are times when knowing the correct temperature means everything.
Daddy, can you take my temperature? I don't feel good.
Oh, honey, I wish there was an easy way to do this.
There's a new, quick, consistently accurate way to take measurements. The Temporal Scanner Thermometer from Exergen. Exergen, changing the way the world takes temperature.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. Will he or won't he, as other cars decide to take the opportunity to get in a few practice laps before the end of the session, Michelle Jourdain Jr., well, the car at the last time around, at 214.421, still very, very, very slow as compared to what he would need, a four-lap average of 223.176. Michael Young, what is the latest on Mr. Jourdain?
Well, they're sitting here in pit lane, guys, and just a classy move from three-time winner Dario Franchitti. Dario was driving down to the north end of pit lane, not quite sure where he was headed, but he stopped, got out of the cart, climbed over pit wall, reached into the cockpit, and just kind of grabbed Michelle's arm and gave him a big shake and just gave him a confident shake saying, you can do this. And obviously that maybe is more than what he needed right now. I mean, obviously this car not very fast at all, and confidence is of the utmost importance. So Dario giving a little bit of a boost, if you will, to Michelle Jourdain Jr.
Donald Davidson, not really sure, historically speaking, where this year's field ranks in terms of sons of former participants. However, we do have four drivers of the 33 whose dads also raced here at the 500.
Well, and as far as history is concerned, we believe that Connor Daly would be the, I think he is the 24th son of a former driver to earn a starting position.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The 24. Like we said, the four in the field this year, of course, Buddy Lazier is in the field. His dad, Bob, yes, competed here at the Speedway. Graham Rahal is in, and his dad, Bobby, won the race. You've got Marco Andretti, whose dad, Michael, has led a slew of laps here at the Speedway and has won it as a car owner. And the aforementioned Connor Daly, whose dad, Derek Daly, also ran here at the Speedway.
Well, you go back to Marco's father drove in the 500. Well, Marco's father's father also drove in the 500, but it was kind of surprising that it was that many. The earliest was in 1937 when Billy DeVore drove in the 500 and finished seventh. He was the first son of a former driver to compete. There's a little trivia about Buddy Lazier, and I'm kind of giving you making it as a statement rather than asking it as a trivia question, but I had a lot of fun with this one. There have been Indianapolis 500 winners who have had a son driving the 500. Buddy Lazier is the only Indianapolis 500 winner who had a father who drove in the 500. In other words, he is the... how else can I state that? No other driver can say, I have won the Indianapolis 500 and my father drove in it before me and didn't win it. Didn't win it.
Well, we've got three other guys who can maybe say that this weekend, and certainly we've got a couple of them that look to be. Marco Andretti obviously has the best opportunity, it looks like, as it stands right now, both with his qualified position, the outside of the front row, and the fact that Andretti Autosport is off to such a great start. When we come back, Mark James and I will look at the 33-car field that has qualified up to this point, and, of course, with 19 minutes and 20 seconds remaining to qualify, will Michelle Jourdain Jr. attempt to bump Catherine Legg? Right now, if I'm Catherine Legg, I think I'm feeling pretty confident that I should get ready to race 1 week from today at the world's greatest race course.
Listen in May to IndyCar Radio for your chance to win a free trip for four to the 2014 Indianapolis 500 and to be an honorary pit reporter. Brought to you by Exergen. No purchase necessary. Exergen temporal scanner. Accurate temperature with a gentle forehead scan.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into victory lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500's bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
What's it like to drive an Indy car at the famed Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Now the Indy Racing Experience can put you in the driver's seat. That's right, you can drive a real Indy car at the world's greatest race course. Packages start at under $400, but hurry, sessions are selling out fast. Call 1-888-357-5002 or go online to IndyRacingExperience.com. You driving a real Indy car, call 1-888-357-5002 now. Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.
Yeah, not too bad. Found a little bit of speed in the car, I guess, from yesterday. You know, it's a shame. I feel bad for our guys. They work really hard for this event. And, you know, we have a great car. We really do. Century 21, it not only looks good, but it's fast. And we knew that yesterday. So to get bumped out was a bit of a shame for everyone. We didn't even get to really defend our position when it happened there. We didn't think we were really going to need to, but I feel great about the run today. At least we got it in real clean, and hopefully we can do some race running today.
Yep, that's Joseph Newgarden, and he has gotten some laps in today. Not particularly pleased the fact that he will start on the inside of row number 9, but he's got to be at least somewhat happy with the fact that he is the fastest qualifier here on day 2 bump day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with a 4-lap average of 225.731 miles an hour, a bit quicker than Graham Rahal, who put the number 15 Midas Muffler car in at 225.007. Michael Young is one of our Exergen pit reporters, and Michael just saw a shot of Michelle Jourdain Jr. It looked like the helmet was coming off, and he might be calling it a day.
Guys, it's, you know, one of those tough parts of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You get a guy like Dario Franchitti coming in, giving him that grasp and boost of confidence, and just shows how much these drivers care about each other. We talked about Ryan Hunter-Reay. If I could help him, I'd love to help him because I know where he's been, and he's just been hugging his wife and just trying to take a moment to grasp what is happening. But it looks like his third bid to start the Indianapolis 500 may be over. We'll have an opportunity to talk to him in a moment. To Katie Hargett.
Yeah, and Buddy Lazier has been hanging out in his car just in case Jourdain would be able to go back out on track, but I don't think he knows that Jourdain has gotten out of his car because he is still sitting in his car, umbrella over his head, fan on his face to stay cool, and we'll see if he gets out of the car anytime soon, Nick Yeoman.
Yeah, and of course, Buddy Lazier, currently 32nd, the driver that is currently 33rd, and on the bubble is Catherine Legg, and as you mentioned, I don't think she knows that Michelle Jourdain Jr. is out of his race car, and quite frankly, Mike King, I don't think it matters. She is in her car right now. They pushed that number 81 Sam Schmidt-Peterson car down to the Firestone pit stall, which is just about 40 or 50 feet from the tech line, so they are waiting and prepared just in case the 17 of Michelle Jourdain would get in line, but it doesn't look like Catherine Legg will be getting out of that race car anytime soon. And before, let's go back to Michael Young, who has to be with a very deflated Michelle Jourdain.
You know, Michelle, no matter what they say about this place, it has to be gut-wrenching to have to step out of that car. It looks as if your bid to start your third Indy 500 may be over.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I can't believe it, you know.
You've tried so much with the car as well. I know you got the guys were even changing the springs. You changed nearly everything you could on that car, and it never seemed to get comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, they tried really hard. I mean, shame. I mean, the car felt bad all week, but it was, you know, we're trying, and at some points it might be a little better, a little worse, and we.
Graham almost drove it on Wednesday, I don't know when it was,
and of course, it's impossible to go back in time. I, you know, if I mean, if he would have driven it, he would have been the, felt the difference and felt how bad it was, and then it would have been okay, you know. I mean, maybe we would have found the problem 2 days ago, but now it's just...
Obviously tough, and we wish you all the best. Hopefully we'll see you back here next year.
Thank you.
Guys, that's Michelle Jourdain Jr., obviously disappointed. He will not start his third Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, heartbreak for Michelle Jourdain Jr., elation, Mark, for Catherine Legg, as she now knows that she will be a part of the 33-car field. You know, you and I have both been down on pit lane to experience, unfortunately, the gut-wrenching part of qualifying in bump day here, and it is so difficult to talk to a driver when that dream of being a part of the 33 is realized that it's going to go away. And that is, you could hear it in Michelle Jourdain Jr.'s voice, the emotion there.
Sounded as though he felt like that the odds were stacked against him almost from the time that they unloaded that car. Wasn't comfortable in the car. You heard him say to Michael Young, would have been nice if someone could have shaken it down a couple of days earlier, maybe helped me to figure out exactly what was wrong with the car. But I think it speaks to the difficulty in this day and age of coming here and doing a one-off. It's a very, very difficult thing to do, because make no mistake about it, this is an extremely talented racer. He's with a great team with Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing. And you can't ever – drivers will say it to a man, no matter how well you've done here, year in and year out, from 1 year to the next, you can't ever come to this place overly confident. Not saying they did that, but what has happened to Michelle Jourdain Jr. today, it just continues to add to the mystique of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
So Michelle Jourdain Jr.'s day is done, and his quest to be a part of the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race is finished. Catherine Legg will be the 33rd starter here in 1 week at the world's greatest race course.
There are few greater traditions in sports than when the 500-mile race winner pulls into victory lane and is greeted with an ice-cold bottle of milk. And consider this, the 500th bottle of milk tradition has been recognized nationally as the sports world's coolest prize. Now and always, milk's the driver's favorite taste at the end of the race.
Get the calcium, vitamins, and protein you need to compete with a refreshing glass of milk. Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, your Indiana Dairy Farm families.
Remember, winners drink milk.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
The Indianapolis 500, the greatest 500 miles in racing.
They sweep majestically into the southeast turn.
The greatest sound in racing. The Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing. Sunday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on ABC. Telecast presented by GoDaddy.
Now, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing. At the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the bump day drama that we thought might unfold in the final minutes failed to materialize. Michelle Jourdain Jr., the helmet has come off the Home Depot car. Excuse me, the Office Depot car being now towed back to the garage area. And with that, Nick Yeoman, Catherine Legg, who was a last-minute entry in that machine. She, our 33rd qualifier here earlier today, is going to wind up in the race and never had to worry, as Catherine got in during the noon to 1 o'clock hour and spent all day long ready to defend, but it never came.
Yeah, Mike, and we'll certainly try to catch up with her momentarily. I see her. She popped out of that race car and is now talking with the team owner, Sam Schmidt. Kind of a bizarre scene down here because they pulled that car right up to the entrance of Gasoline Alley, and the 17 of Michelle Jourdain's car was just pulled in and then, of course, had to take that demoralizing left-hand turn. So Catherine and all the crew members on this car got to see that 17 car pulled behind the wall. Rob Edwards, who is one of the strategists and engineers for one of Sam Schmidt's teams, came over and rubbed Sam on the head as if to say congratulations. We'll slide over here and we'll grab a quick word with Sam Schmidt. This obviously the type of day that full of drama, Sam, and thankfully I know Catherine's not going to have to make a run, but congratulations on getting a third car in the race.
Yeah, I mean, ever since she got in today, she was totally solid. Qualified with less than 20 laps on the car and stuck it. We still had a lot of downforce in the car, so the car in its current terms was with a good 225, but it's not worth going out there and taking the risk for a few spots. The back row party is a lot of fun anyway.
All right, thank you. That is Sam Schmidt. Catherine Lake going to be in the Indianapolis 500. Katie Hargett.
And I just spoke with Buddy Lazier, and he is very relieved to be starting his 17th Indianapolis 500 in just a week from today, Mike King.
Yeah, the 1996 winner dodges the bullet, if you will, but really never had anything to worry about. As Mark Janes, we take a look with the minutes winded down here on bump day. Take a look at the field. That Verizon P1 award going to a very proud Ed Carpenter, the lone driver car owner in the field, captures pole with that four-lap average of 228.762. And Mark, he'll be joined in the front row by Carlos Munoz and Marco Andretti. A Chevy sweep at the front row here at Indy.
Row number two features E.J. Vizo, a solid, solid week leading up to qualifying for E.J. Vizo. A.J. Allmendinger making the most of his limited run with Team Penske, the rookie, in name only in the middle of row number two. Will Power, his teammate, will join him in row number two.
In row number three, our defending IZOD IndyCar Series champ, Ryan Hunter-Reay. Elio Castroneves, the three-time 500 winner, will be joined by a guy who's already won twice this year in IZOD IndyCar Series competition, James Hinchcliffe. That's row three.
2 years ago, the guy on the inside of row four was a half a straightaway away from victory lane. J.R. Hildebrand rolls off on the inside. Former pole sitter Alex Tagliani in the middle of row four. They're joined by Tony Kanaan.
We take a look at row number five, the Spaniard Oriol Servia. Could it be the last go-round for Dreyer and Reinbold Racing? We'll just have to wait and see. Could Oriol pull off one of the all-time great stories by winning this race? Certainly we know that the veteran is capable of getting the 22 car to the front. He'll be joined on row number five by Justin Wilson and Sebastian Bourdais.
Scott Dixon, Dario Franchitti, four wins between the two. Dario looking for his fourth individually, make up row number six. They are joined by the current series points leader, Takuma Sato.
In row number seven, Charlie Kimball will be joined by James Jakes and Simon Pagenaud.
Row number eight, Townsend Bell with a solid run. Had an up-and-down day yesterday. Ryan Briscoe, last year's pole sitter, in the middle of row number eight. He's joined by Simona DeSilvestro.
In row number nine, the fastest day two qualifier, Joseph Newgarden, will be joined by Graham Rahal and Sebastian Saavedra.
A likable rookie, Tristan Vautier, on the inside of row number 10. Solid runs today by Anna Beatrice and the 63 machine of Pippa Mann.
And in row number 11, Connor Daly, our fourth rookie in the field, will be joined by 1996 Indy 500 winner Buddy Lazier, and our 33rd starter, Catherine Legg, will go off on the outside of row number 11, and she is with Nick Yeoman.
Yeah, Catherine Legg, well, those were some anxious moments having to sit in your race car. How relieving to then hop out and know that you're in the Indy 500.
Yeah, we weren't sure. We've trimmed her out, and we were going to go do it, you know, having not done that before. So we were ready. I feel obviously bad for Michelle because he's had issues, and it's never good to go out like that. You want it to be a fair fight, you know, and I'm sure we would have put it further up the field. The run we did earlier was just a banker lap, really, which was maybe 20 laps in for me for this month. So, yeah, relieved and looking very much forward to Carb Day now.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That is Catherine Legg. She will be the 33rd starter for the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500, Mike King.
Mark, we take a look. Balance in the field, certainly, and we knew it was going to be this way. Chevy has 17 starters, Honda 16, but the imbalance comes when you look at the first five rows of those 15 drivers, 13 of them have the bow tie on their engine cowling.
Last year, Honda had the advantage, fuel mileage over horsepower, which paid off on race day. We'll see if that's the case next Sunday. One other stat we figured out, Mike, 14 current or former drivers involved in ownership in some way, shape, or form of the field of 33.
Interesting, Mark, to note throughout this field, you know, some of the great young drivers, but certainly the guy who's going to be drawing a lot of attention this week leading up to this race, 21-year-old Carlos Munoz. Oh, and by the way, he's got another race to worry about.
Yep, he's doing the double, much like Sebastian Saavedra did a year ago for Andretti Autosport, driving Friday's Firestone Freedom 100. He'll qualify that car on Thursday and then get ready for the 500. Mike, going to be an exciting race. The thing I'm looking most forward to is having the opportunity to call possibly a four-time Indianapolis 500 winner. Best of luck to Dario Franchitti and Elio Castroneves in that quest.
At the same time, Mark, I think most of the crowd will walk in here saying, boy, I'd love to see Tony Kanaan in victory lane on Sunday afternoon.
He's led a lot of laps here. He's this generation's Michael Andretti, if you will. Led a ton of laps here. Done everything but won the race. TK looking to get that monkey off his back next Sunday.
Mark, 1 week from today, let's call the Indy 500.
Let's do that.
Sounds like a plan.
It's a day. Today's Bump Day qualifying has been brought to you in part by Firestone, official tire of the IndyCar Series. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. By the Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. By Extragen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at your favorite local retailer. By Henchman Racing Uniforms, nothing fits like a Henchman. By Old National Bank, proud to sponsor Old National Armed Forces Bump Day. By Verizon Wireless, the official wireless supplier of the IndyCar Series. By Sonax, for the best in car care products, go to SonaxUSA.com. By Chevrolet, find new roads. By Safety Clean, the official environmental service company of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. By Racing Electronics, your number one source for professional race communications worldwide. And by the American Dairy Association. Remember, winners drink milk. Our network general manager is Wally Levitt. Production and program control by Chris Pollack. Master control operations by Paul Levitt and John Royer. Our chief engineer is Rick Evans. Pit producer, Brian Livingston. Great to have him back this year. RF operations by Norm Birnbaum. In the booth with us today, Jerry Baker, Donald Davidson, and Mark James. In the pits, Jake Query, Nick Yeoman, Katie Hargett, and Michael Young. Of course, we can't wait. 1 week from today, Ed Carpenter from right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, will lead the field to the green flag for the 97th renewal of the world's greatest race. Beside of him, 21-year-old Carlos Munoz. And on the outside of the front row, Marco Andretti. Will this be the year we see another Andretti roll in to victory lane? I'm Mike King, inviting you to join us this Friday at noon Eastern for the Firestone Indy Lights Freedom 100. This program is copyrighted by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.